Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready for more propaganda? Well, you're in the wrong place at the right time. Columbo Chronicles is for critical thinkers. Let's welcome the consumer advocate for justice. Here's the Rose, Rose Columbo.
Hi, everyone. It's the Rose, Rose Columbo, right here for you. And yes, it is Wednesday. Faithfully here for you, thanks to God, of course. Always good to be 6 feet above the ground, looking at the blue sky, a little bit of clouds, and watching the butterflies and the birds chirping. Hey, every day's a good day when you're above the ground. No matter what's happening, there's a way to solve your problems. And one of them is by listening to Columbo Chronicles, even if it's a show for just fun and entertainment and instead of what's happening all over the world and the negativity that's going out. We're going to put some positivity into the world today, and you are going to be part of that positivity because we need to share more joy, happiness, and love out into the universe because that's what will diminish the negativity. We all need to love each other. Remember, God said, love thy neighbor as you love yourself. Everybody loves themselves, don't they? Well, not everybody, apparently. But they should learn to love themselves. But first, learn to love God, and you will learn to love yourself. Then you will be a transformed person, and everybody will love you. Isn't that how the world circulates? I think so. So let's concentrate on something that's going to be really happy today and uplifting and fun. And that's because my returning guest, Judy Watson, author of the fabulous book and popular book on Amazon, Wings. And it's all about the classic movie stars in Hollywood and secrets you never heard of or knew, but they all remain a mystery because those were the real movie stars and everybody loved them. Even the young people today and the kids, they've watched TCM and AMC and YouTube classic movies because they're wholesome and they're fun and their comedy is clean but so funny and just natural. And their mystery movies had so many twists and turns. It was like keeping you on their seat even today. And that is not happening in a lot of movies today. And there's all this raw sex and everybody knows how to do it. So they really don't need to show us. It's supposed to be a private, sacred thing in someone's bedroom, not filmed on camera, unless it used to be X-rated and you went to those movie theaters. But if you did, well, that's your choice. Anyway, shame on you. So here we go. We're going to take a little break, and then I'm going to come back and enter into the world of authors and experts because I can't wait to talk to Judy Watson. Her family's been in the media industry for many, many years, still is, and she has a lot of stories to tell us, a lot of secrets she's never told. So this will be very exciting. So don't touch that dial.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure. Be sure to bring your appetite.
That's right. Be sure to bring your appetite because Patty wants to treat you to her beautiful and wonderful homemade apple pie and all the desserts that fly out the door, so save room for Patty's homemade apple pie. By the way, that's my sister, so be sure to say hi to Patty. And here we go.
Obamasaurus, the new book by Rose M. Colombo, is an updated version of a political satire that reflects the political roadmap of today's world. Written with an Orwellian twist, will humanity survive or suffer depopulation or extinction? Obamasaurus by Rose M. Colombo, available at Amazon.com.
Get your copy because you may need to start an exodus and find a way to safety. A place to grow your own food and get away from Bill Gates' genetically engineered foods and molecular meats and Monsanto's, because the plan.
The Justice Club is back on Colombo Chronicles live podcast. Join Rose Colombo at noon and find out what tips she will provide in a world of little justice.
That's right. Let's enter into now the world of authors and experts. And if we have some time, we will go into the world of justice. So let's give Judy Watson a hand. And let's say hello to Judy Watson. Hi, Judy. How are you doing today?
Hey, Rose. You know, you asked me for an interesting topic from the book, and I started thinking about the first Academy Awards, because there are not any real stories about that. And also because, you know, we had this tremendous upset this last year, right, at the Academy Awards. And I read a number of articles,
yeah.
Right? And I read a number of articles.
Anger
about
management.
Yes, and has this ever happened before? Has anyone ever been excluded from the Academy Awards? And it should be noted that the first Academy Awards, the winner of the best production, which was known, was Wings, and they would not permit the director to come. And that is
really?
In a book. Yeah, it's in a book. The son finally got angry, and he wrote a book about his father. It's a biography and a documentary, and it's called The Man and His Wings. And here, let me read this. It's kind of interesting. He said there were 230 members joining the Academy at $100 for the privilege. Films released between August 1st, 1927 and July 31st, 1928 were eligible. And L.B. Mayer was the judge, the chair of the judges. 3 months before the actual event, Wings was rumored to be the Best Picture winner. William Wellman was not nominated for Best Director and was also not on the invitation list for the presentation. And in fact, he was not there. He was not permitted to come.
And
why that?
Why?
They never told him. They never told him. And he was just home by himself. And he went and says here, the director of the Academy Award winner for Best Picture went home with an old friend, Jack Daniels, and got very drunk. I do think what happened in the book I wrote, which is about the making of Wings, and it's also here in this book, too, the picture was the first ever, as we've discussed, you know, of its kind that was done up in the air and without special effects and without being able to control temperatures and weathers. It ran significantly over time and was very expensive. And Wellman was a drinker. And when he would get nervous, he would drink. And in the book, they talk about, finally they came. They came from Paramount. They were going to shut down the making of the picture. And he hides in his room because he's terrified that they're going to do this. And he just gets stinking drunk. This is Hollywood, folks. And they go outside the door, and they pound on the door, and he won't let them in. And this is all the money guys from Paramount Studios. And finally they go home. And they send him a message, okay, you can finish the picture. And it's obviously this was their way of getting even with him. Can you imagine? He was the director.
Wow.
They knew the picture was going to win.
That's an amazing story. That's an amazing story. You know, it's really, it also points out the fact that, you know, that people who actually were involved in something that was really important, and other people end up getting credit for it. And the only friend he had was his Jack Daniels, unfortunately, and having the truth on his side.
Right. And what the son did, and here's why all this happened. In 2012, remember I told you I had all the information in Richard Arlen's book, but I had hesitated in putting it together because there was so many stories that, in fact, I have still many that were untold. And 2012, I think I was watching the Academy Awards, and for the first time ever, they showed wings. And I thought, wow, I thought this was a picture long forgotten. Well, what happened was Paramount Studios, under the, I guess, the son of Wellman, came to them and persuaded them to redo the picture, which they did. And they put it on Blu-ray, and they added new music, and they spent hundreds of thousands of dollars, and they lost their shirt. And that's what happened there. Yeah.
Well.
I know.
That was
because
a good
I think
thing.
They really... Yeah, I know. They really thought, well, this picture's a huge picture. It will go over. The problem with the picture is it's like, what, 3 hours? I mean, it's really long. And it's worth watching just because it was a complete innovation in the terms of filmmaking. I mean, the part that's fascinating in the book is to read that Richard Arlen, who did know how to fly, and the other actor, star, they did their own flying. They had to do their own stunts. They had to get up there and risk their lives. And the way that was done was these were one-seater pilot airplanes. They made them into two seats. So they'd sit there behind the, you know, the steering wheel, and in front of them was another seat in which the camera operator had a camera on them. And that's how you saw those close-ups. It was real. It was done. Can you believe that? And then Richard writes about it. Yeah. When Richard writes about it, though, Richard writes a very small chapter, which, by the way, people have disputed, and I put it in a book. And Richard simply writes that they all are called to meet in front of the Doug Fairbanks bungalow, and at that time they are told they've won the award. They have a picture taken, and he talks about how he looked in the picture. He adored Douglas Fairbanks, and then they all go out and have a hamburger. And that is how much they didn't know. Nobody knew that the Academy had yet to be formed and that the following year there would be the very first formal dinner. And that dinner, presided over by a mayor, that they present the Oscars formally. But they're so angry with Wellman, they won't permit him to come.
And there's no reason ever given a why?
No. No. The son wrote the book, and I talked to the son, and that was, I think, the purpose of the book, to finally get recognition for his father. And I saw some documentaries on TV, and I tried to find out more, but Hollywood is very political, and once you're on somebody's, you know, SHIT sheet, you stay. And
I've heard that you can go on a blacklist, and that's the end of you. Bye-bye.
Well, it pretty much was. He did do some other movies. Well, he actually won his real Academy Award for his writing of A Star Is Born, which goes on forever with constant remakes. So he was an extraordinarily talented man. And I don't blame the son, who was a very nice person, for wanting to resurrect his father's image and finally praying and hoping that the Academy would recognize him. Well, you remember when we had all this furor this last year with what happened? I called the Academy because they were saying this is the first time I think this ever happened. And I said, no, it's not. You know what happened. And I bring up Wellman, and she hung up on me.
I'm so shocked, Judy.
Yeah,
shocked.
I know. So they don't want to know. Hey, well, that was long ago, you know. But it's of tremendous historical importance. Because it's the very first Academy Awards.
Well, I thought at first when I saw the the main character go up on stage and slap the other character who was his friend, I thought it was theatrics, you know. And apparently it was not.
I think we all did. I was watching, yeah. Like, what? Yeah, you know.
But I think he's very remorseful over that, you know. And Sometimes people are human beings and they just do stupid things sometimes, you know.
No, I asked my daughter, what is this all about? Well, at that time, I don't know if she has it anymore, the wife had a television show. And on that television show, she went and talked about her Propecia is at it where she lost all her hair, and she was very open about it, so it was known. But also at that time, which we're not supposed to reveal, but let's reveal it, she was known to have other sexual partners beside her husband. He knew it, she knew it, and she talked openly about it. So you have to ask yourself, was it strictly about her hair loss, you know? Or was there something else?
Was there something in the closet that was bugging
him? Yeah, I know. Yeah, maybe he was like, I've had it.
It wouldn't be the first time a best friend was close to the family.
Well, yeah. My own feeling when I watched it and when I learned more about it later was that he probably had no idea this was going to happen, which is why when you see the first picture of him, he's smiling. And then the fellow makes the remark, and you have to think that remark on top of what he already knew and his wife talking openly about her affairs. God, can you imagine how that hit him?
Maybe it sent him over the edge, you know what I mean? It's kind of, when you say mean things about people, especially the Academy Awards, it just turns me off because I really, you know, used to always watch the Academy Awards, and I still watch them, but not as excited about it because it always becomes political. I don't want to watch political. I want to see if the movie stars are wearing and how they're wearing their hair and look at the good-looking guys, you know, all spiffed out and happy to get their awards. And it's supposed to be a really joyous moment, isn't it?
Well, folks, if you watch Turner Classics, I think that's where I watched it on Prime the other night. There's a wonderful old movie called When Harry Met Sally with Billy Crystal.
Oh, yeah.
You ever seen it?
Mm-hmm.
And it makes you laugh. It's a feel-good movie. Well, Billy Crystal has emceed the Oscars, and he's wonderful and he's delightful, and they don't want that anymore. And, you know, Dick, my husband, folks, worked in television from the very beginning, and they did a 44th, or I think, anniversary tape for Channel 5. And when that studio opened, Bob Hope opened the show. And that's old kinescopes. There was no such thing as tape. And if you listen to Bob Hope's humor, there was an edginess, there was politics, but overall it was just good humor. And
yeah,
I mean,
you can bring politics into you can bring politics into a speech and make light of it, but I'm talking about the bashing and then trying to convince people that, you know, this is the way, you know. And I mean, who needs it? If I want a history book or I want to watch the news, I'll turn it on. But I want to watch entertainment, which is what Hollywood's all about.
Well, one of the things I learned in all the years that Dick worked was in order to make money, a studio, and I hear him talking channels, here I'm talking websites, internet, whatever, it has to sell time. Well, how do you sell time to your advertisers so they'll say, oh, I want to go with this one rather than that one? You give them something exciting. You give them something that goes, oh, so people stand up and say, oh, I was watching channel so-and-so. And this is what has happened. So the news is not about the news. It's about making a point, having a moment, getting everyone excited, and then they forget all about it. You know, I mean, what do you remember about yesterday's news?
I don't remember anything about it, to tell you the truth.
Right. Well, that's not the point.
The
point is for them to make money.
It's like,
you know.
But the point is that the reason is because it's not the news anymore. It is opinions and this person's opinion and that person's opinion.
It's propaganda.
Yeah, and
given
it's like,
opinion.
I don't care about your opinion. You're supposed to be the news. Give me the news. I don't care about your opinion, you know. Keep your opinion to yourself and tell me the news.
Look
at what's happening in our country, Judy. I mean, we depended in the past, well, our parents and grandparents too, depended in the past, faithfully turn on my dad's favorite, George Putnam or whatever he watched.
George Putnam.
I mean, he watched him. He watched, I think, Cronkite and... who was the other one, famous one? the one with the white hair, Jerry Dunphy. Is that his name?
I don't know. There was a couple that were really good.
There was some that were really, really, they were really, really great anchors. And they just told the news. And my dad, he never missed it. You know, I mean, he watched them faithfully.
But again,
it wasn't their opinion.
Dick worked in the news, and there was always news that you were never going to know about. And that's so interesting. Dick's, okay, in the old days, folks, before even tape, well, maybe it was the beginning of tape, they had a telecopter, not a telecopter, they had a telecopter, they had a telemobile. Channel 5 was the first one to have that. And they would go down to the big police station in L.A. at night looking for news for the program. So it really was news coming directly from the police station. And they would encounter things that Dick would come home and tell me about that were very upsetting of the way people were treated and the things that went on. And they had a guy on the station called Larry McCormick. And Larry had been, an actor.
Larry.
Okay. But Larry had a side job. I should talk about this because nobody knows about it. Larry had a side job. He worked to save the lives of the black people in the black community, because they knew that if they were picked up by Chief Parker, they were going to have a really rough time. So Larry quietly would be called by these people at like 4 o'clock in the morning, and he would go down to the police station, and he would try to help them. And he kept this to himself. But I always wondered, I used to go down the studio, and Larry McCormick's picture was up there along with the other people who had been famous at the studio in the news, and that was why. But it was kept a very quiet secret. And I often wondered why the black community never came out and really showed him to be the person he was. And that, you know, he had a lot to do with everything that happened, all the riots, and what's the famous one after the Watts riot? What was the famous Rodney King riots? All of those things. Larry was highly involved. So
yeah, can't we all just get along?
Well, there was a lot of prejudice. There was a lot of rage and anger against black people. There really was. And
well, it wasn't just against black people. They were the number one targets. But the Hispanics and the Asians, too, because when I started Women's Fight Back for Legal Justice in the 90s, that's what I discovered in the court system, because I set up court monitoring with my group, and we would go into the courts, either the criminal or the civil or the family law, pick a court, walk in, sit down with our pads and pens, and we'd list the judge and the lawyers, and then we'd write notes. And I remember the bailiff would always come up to me and go, can I help you? And I go, because I was in the news then. They go, can I help you? And I go, oh, no, thank you. Because you don't have to help them. Get the public court out.
And, there's no way.
Here's a group of us coming with symptoms. And we would take notes in every meeting. We would discuss the prejudice, the bias, the hanging judges, the good judges. I mean, we actually were tracking them, because there was corruption in our county and in Southern California courts. And then I learned people start contacting me from around the country. It was everywhere. So it was overwhelming for me. But this is the problem. They were targeted, Judy, to fill the beds in the prisons, because it's a big business. And the more beds they have filled, the more taxes they can ask for each year.
Well, then the other thing that came about, talk about pure corruption, were the private prisons, which have no standards at all, except for what they,
you know,
give.
That was Bush and Cheney who built those.
Oh, well, yeah, and they did try to indict Cheney. I remember reading an article in the newspaper. He was on the board of one, and I don't, you know, being Cheney, he got off. Oh, I don't know anything. I don't have anything to do with the procedures. And this was a prison down south.
I think Halliburton may have, I think they may have used Halliburton, because Bush gave him a no-bid contract in the billions of our taxes when they invaded Iraq to go into Iraq. And then they were secretly building FEMA camps and private prisons and private juvenile facilities.
Oh, my God. Well, I'll tell you another story. This was told to me, and I'm not going to give you the name of the firm, but it was told to me by the manager of a very large brokerage firm.
How does the reason that black Americans are concerned?
Well, you know, the whole, that way that event in New Orleans when the bay broke, They knew it was going to break. And guess who had the no-bid contract? Dick Cheney. And guess who knew that all of this was going to happen, thousands of people would be trapped in that stadium? Dick Cheney. And guess who was able somehow to probably arrange to have all the waterfront property taken away from the poor people and sold up before the event ever happened? And this was told to me, and when the man first told me, I was in shock. I had no idea of the severity of the corruption in this country.
Because they're trying to take over all the beach property and all the agricultural land.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Very
what's
sad.
Happening now with the...
People are going to die from starvation if they don't wake up because Bill Gates and his genetically engineered foods and have no nutrition value. Your body
and then China.
Nutrition
what's China
God
coming in and buying property?
It.
Yeah. Right.
And China, and China's not our friend. So, it's kind of crazy that we would be selling our agricultural land that the federal government's supposed to protect for future generations. And they protect everything else that they take from us. So, why not our – we need that land. We need those water rights on that land, too, because people – in 2009, I posted on Facebook many times. I was on there for 12 years until they exiled me because I disagreed with Fauci and Gates and all that. And so they exiled me with 650,000 fans. And and I brought them a lot of business, advertisement. Hello, they owe me. So anyway.
You often wonder, I really do, if you want to look at it philosophically, who was their master? Who were they really working for? What was the goal? Because what happened to you, Rose, was shocking to me because I used to go on your website. But it wasn't just you. There were so many people being shut down. And many times the people that would come on to your, say, whatever you put on Facebook, you'd never seen or heard of them before. And that was the word they said, I read bots, and I still don't know what a bot is. And you began to understand, and the algorithm as well. Algorithms can be set to various ways so that good comes, bad comes, and much evil came. And
when they had exiled me after 12 years, and so did Twitter, I've discovered inadvertently, I was doing some research, I discovered a lot of things when I'm doing research, that they had shadow banned me from the USA. And
now,
I found
what
that document
mean?
And I shadow banned
okay,
means nobody
mean?
Can read your shadow ban means no one can read your posts. You can post and you can see them, but nobody else can read them. And they shadow banned me when all this started with the COVID thing because I was doing blogs and telling people to be careful and, to investigate, ask questions. This is an experiment on humanity. They didn't like that. And so apparently. But I was correct. And so they shadow banned me, and I copied that. I sent it to my congressman, several of them, and I put a whole report that I spent a year on proving that they were shadow banning and suspending and accusing conservatives of hate speech. And they accused me of Facebook, after 12 years, appraising my post, accused me of something about sexual inappropriateness or something. Exploitation. That's what it was, sexual exploitation. That did it for me. So I gathered, I put together a whole portfolio of conservatives who had been put in Facebook jail or exiled, and I sent it to about four different congressmen.
Did you ever hear back?
I never heard a word back, and that took me a long time to prepare. I spent my own money, mailing, everything. I never heard from any of them.
I know. I think they just put that out there so somebody will feel they're doing something. Like I was reading the Republicans, if they get back.
You know why they don't do it? Because probably a lot of them are taking donations.
Right. Well, that's what I said. That if they get back in power, they're going to have all kinds of hearings. And I thought, oh, goody. You know.
But they have hearings,
so
but
what?
Nothing ever happens. It's a waste of
That's right.
Of
that's
money.
What they're famous for. And I think one of the funniest things is I live here in
Democratic
country.
They should be in Hollywood.
Yeah. And I always, I don't have anybody I can write to except for Dianne Feinstein and then the other one. And you get back a letter, it always says, thank you so much. So glad to hear from you. We are having hearings. We're going to, and I will address, and I believe, and do thank you, and oh, blah, blah, blah. And you think, oh, my God, I wish they just hadn't bothered to write me back, you know.
She actually does write to me, and because I don't know why, but she actually does. It's not those, you know, those ones they just print
form
out.
Form letters like I get, yeah.
Yeah, she doesn't send me form letters. She actually writes me long letters because I wrote to her and told her that we absolutely needed to exercise term limits and in order to, you know, in order to stop corruption, you know, and forming cabals and all this in government. And she wrote back to me and said they will never do that.
No, they won't, and I think, thank God she was honest with you. You know, as long as there's a dollar to be made, why would they do that, you know? I always say that to people, and they get upset with me. I always say, just follow the money, you know? Follow the money and see where it comes from and who donates the most. And also, that's enough. I'm going to bring up the George Soros thing here for a minute. My first knowledge of George Soros was that he created this group called the Open Society. So one day, I just, for the hell of it, I went on the Internet and I said, so how many groups are in the Open Society? Well, when I got to 70, you know, I thought, oh, there's some. What is it? So what he does is he just gives this money and it's hidden behind a name and it looks like it's a democratic process, but it's not. When I really became aware of him was there was a group, I don't even know if they're in existence anymore, called J Street. And J Street was to be for Israel. It was to be for Jewish causes. And when I first began to read it, I thought, wait a minute, this is the most anti-Semitic stuff I've ever read. So who's behind this? So sure enough, when I looked, and I had to really go and delve, it was George Soros. And he had given money to some person who had quietly given it to somebody else who had quietly created a name who had quietly, you know, put J Street into effect. And it was an anti-Semitic website and group. And they became very powerful for a period of time. And then, of course, people began to find out who was really behind it and what it was really about. And I don't think I've even heard about it lately. But this is what he does. But he's not alone. I quite believe they all do this. They all want the power.
Well, he also has democracy. He also has Democracy Alliance, and I looked that one up. And a lot of the blue state governors belong to that. And what it is, it's to destroy the Republican Party and create only the Democrat Party. Just have a one party system, which would be the far left, and get rid of other Republicans and the GOPs. Who we are the irredeemables, I guess.
I know. I mean, well, an interesting thing about him is that
we're all Americans. I can't believe it. I mean, we're all Americans. We've always had a two-party system. Nobody got upset over if George Bush won or Clinton. We're like, oh, well, another 4 years, we'll have another chance to get him out. Nobody was, like, burning down cities. Putting cops on fire.
I think the thing that's fascinating about Soros is this, if you go on the Internet, you can find out right away. He's been kicked out of 6 countries. He was fined in France for insider trading, which he fought for years. And he's very devious. And why in the world they keep permitting him all this power here is just mind-boggling to me. And I've been following him since 2008. Huh?
It is mind-boggling.
He just
has,
I know.
It's mind-boggling.
And when I really looked into him, they wrote a really nice, a good, interesting article about him, and all it led to was the fact that he likes to tear down society, but he has no plans to build one in its place. It's just the tearing down that he enjoys.
Well, I watched the video of him because I used to watch him a lot, too. And he said that, of course, they've scrubbed a lot of these videos since then. But he said that which really caught my attention, was that his plan was to devalue the U.S. dollar and to make communist China the super military and super economic power of the world, and that is his goal. And he's doing a really good job.
Well, obviously he's going to make money from it, because that's the things I've seen about him, no matter how good it sounds, when you really look behind it and you look to see the end goal, it's putting more money in his pocket. And that's really all he really wants. And he doesn't care if it gets destroyed in the process, you know.
Well, no,
and
what
I don't understand is how people stupidly just accept the things he says and go on. And I remember I got into a big fight with a girl over, I think it wasn't, what was the one before George Floyd? It was the one where the kid was shot by the policeman. Remember that one in that small town? And
Ferguson or Boston one of those.
What was it?
Ferguson, Boston, one of those?
Was one of those, it was the big one. I think it was fairly big. But the reality was that he was behind the whole thing. And he gave a good deal of money to see if they could prosecute that policeman. And that became kind of a pattern of what he began to do. Eventually, the boy was found guilty. He was guilty. But what we went through in the process and the things I read, and people got very angry because they believed every word that this man put out there. And that's the thing that scares me, Rose. And let's go back here. Now we're going back to, the picture. So here we have the first Academy Awards, and here people have argued with me over the little story that Dick tells. Oh, no, that wasn't true. And then they talk about the first, Academy Awards, but it really wasn't. So this is what we do. We create something. Someone else comes along with more money, and look what they did. They destroyed a man's life if they could, and then they protest. So you will believe them. Mm-hmm. I mean, I used to wonder, why did this man write this book for his father? Because the father really was a drinker. But he wanted somebody to know, hey, my dad did this.
Because somebody's a drinker doesn't mean that they didn't do something and accomplish something in their lives. The alcoholism is a disease, and people have been making it and selling it legally or illegally over the years. And what's really shocking to me is that you have to show your ID in America to sometimes even go into a club or buy a bottle of cough syrup or a bottle of, if people drink, a bottle of booze, whatever. And then they allow all these open borders and nobody's identifying themselves.
The open border myth is an amazing thing. I'm going to tell you another story which floored me. I don't know if I told you this story. I was part of a Brandeis group, and here I'm going to say they were a Brandeis group. We had a meeting at my house in which we talked about immigration, and we had a woman, I forget what country she was from, she and her husband came legally, and she talked about the years it took and the hard work it took and the money they had to pay. And then she said, of course, she was against illegals because they're not doing any of those steps. And it just destroys all her hard work and her husband's hard work. And a lot of the women said, so what? There was this attitude, before, this is before Biden, and actually this is before Trump, about so what? These people are coming in, oh, these poor people, let's just let them in. And nobody understands the ramifications.
No, I knew the ramifications when Bill Clinton opened up the Long Beach Naval Base to communist China tariff-free over the past 30 years or so. And it only benefited China because they outsourced all of our manufacturing jobs, our intellectual property, and our manufacturing companies to communist China, which made us vulnerable to a foreign enemy nation. And now we're super vulnerable to a foreign enemy nation, which we found out with COVID when we had no ventilators. And also they had them making in sweatshops and throwing them on the floor, the mask and the PCR swabs. And
oh my God.
They were putting ethylene oxide in those masks, and they were also allegedly putting in graphene oxide. Those are poisons to the human body. When you look, I used to buy the mask from China, just to buy them and have the packaging, because they had no ingredients, no materials used on it. It just said, you know, like made in China. And I was like, how does this bypass our quality control agency?
Somebody paid somebody, you know.
And nobody pays attention, though. That's the problem, is Americans do not pay attention. They just put on the mask. Wear the mask. Well, the mask, actually, when you're breathing in that ethylene oxide or allegedly graphene too, it goes into your pores, because I was a beauty expert for 25 years, a licensed esthetician and postgraduate of the Dermal Institute for Skin Care, attended many workshops with doctors and plastic surgeons over the years, and learned a lot from them. And so those masks, if you have toxic poisons in those masks, I don't care if they say they're minimal and at such a low minimum amount, it doesn't harm you. That's a bunch of BS, because you have open pores on your skin, and you have an open, you're breathing it in through your nostrils, your mouth, your ears, it gets into your eyes, and it gets into your pores. There is no way it's not affecting your skin and your body. So that is a bunch of bull. And to cut off your oxygen supply that God gave us, a nose and a mouth, to breathe in fresh oxygen, because he said when he breathed in fresh oxygen, which he created, into Adam and Eve, it was the breath of life. And those three words are very important, because oxygen is the breath of life. And without oxygen and carbon monoxide, everything dies. So for these people to say, oh, we got to get rid of all carbon monoxide by 2050, it means they're killing everything off, animals, plants, and humans. And nobody thinks about this stuff.
I'm not sure they're aware. You know, there's a program, I think it's Jesse Waters, and they like to go out and ask questions of young people in the streets. I don't know if they pick the dumbest people they can find, but I'm telling you, it's horrifying whenever you watch that, because they don't even know, is there a star, you know, how many stars are in the Star Spangled Banner, you know, I mean, things like that. I mean,
they
don't know.
They can't even tell you the name of their governor, they don't know. And it's really frightening to think that they have dumbed down those generations that much.
I don't think they have those classes anymore that we used to have on, it's not social science, but it's what you would learn about how politics were created. What did they call that? And they talk about propaganda, and they talk about
U.S. history.
It wasn't U.S. history. It was a social class, but it was prerequisite. I had to take it. We all had to take it, you know, in the old days. And that was how we learned about the fact that propaganda was a very useful tool. And they use it all the time now, but people don't know. And
well, the sad part about it is that in the schools today, their priority is all about sex, sexual preferences, gender ID. You don't know if you're a boy or girl. Let's change you. Let's switch you around. I mean, this is insanity. These are other people's kids. They have no authority to indoctrinate children that do not belong to them. They are paid with tax dollars. It's time for the American people to take back their children and their country and their unborn babies and their babies, because in my book, Obamasaurus, there's a scathing message at the end that if people who, I'm not going to tell you the end. They have to read it. But anyway, without babies.
give me a hint.
Sorry
give
about
hint.
That. Buy the book on Amazon.com, Obamasaurus. Political satire. It has humor. It has adventure. And it has a scathing message for the world. So that they need to. One critic said, masterfully crafted. And he said, but in the end, the readers are going to be very concerned about their humanity, free will, and free choice.
Well, I just think we've gotten to the place where we don't care about other people. Altruism was a significant hallmark of my generation. I think of your generation. There is no such thing anymore. Okay? Name one.
No, there's no common sense
journalist
anymore either.
Well, yeah, but name one journalist, one program, one place where they devote an hour to altruism, which is meaning you try to understand other human beings. And you don't have to put yourself in their place, but you just try to comprehend without shock value of the fact that we are a diverse nation, people are from different places, and become aware of it. Become aware, and
that's
we don't have it anymore.
The problem with the open borders, Judy, is because not everybody is the same. Not everybody. There are dangerous criminals and jihadists and cartels and gang members and traffickers coming through those borders, and they're here. And we are taxpayer funding them for all their necessities of life. Well, our necessities of life have doubled and tripled and don't meet the wages of the middle class any longer. So the only thing that's going to pot is the middle class who are being wiped out, and the seniors who are retirements and savings are being wiped out. And this is a very serious problem, and it needs to be told. It needs to be resolved, and we need to do something about it as a nation. And loyal, natural-born Americans own this homeland, not public servants. They don't own this homeland. They sell it out many times for whatever they're making, all these secret deals, but they don't own our homeland. We need to take back our country because God blessed it for natural-born Americans to preserve and to take care of, to procreate, have babies and children so they can continue preserving their own nation, homeland. And all people don't have to be Christians. You can be any religion you like, but you do have to assimilate as an American, and you do have to accept the fact that the natural-born Americans are innate to our soil, and we are the people who have the authority through the United States Constitution to determine who enters our country and can become an assimilated, loyal, naturalized American. But remember one thing. All people, naturalized, refugees, asylum seekers, illegals, all of them can be deported if the judicial system finds that they've committed crimes and prosecuted that they don't approve of. They can all be deported, whether you're legally naturalized or not. If you commit a crime against this country, they can be deported. The only people in this country are the natural-born Americans who cannot be deported, and that's why we need to secure our borders. We need to keep having babies to preserve the majority of this country to be natural-born Americans who allow other people to come and assimilate and experience the American way of life and be a proud American, not people coming into our country to steal from us, rob from us, kill us, kidnap our kids, and destroy our way of life and impose their ideologies on us. We don't want their communist, socialist, or Sharia law or any of that overthrowing our U.S. Constitution, which also includes the vaccine passport of Bill Gates, which is, in my opinion,
he raised the
an
price,
overthrowing
by the way.
Of the United States Constitution, because that vaccine passport is antithetical to the United States Constitution that guarantees freedom, liberty, rights, and sovereignty, and the right to pray, speak out. And these CEOs who are denying us freedom of speech, that's a bunch of bull, too, because they are also violating. Nobody's talking about it. They're in violation of the First Amendment of the United States Constitution, and they need to be deregulated. That's the bottom line. Oh,
I think.
And how are you doing, Judy?
I'm listening, and I'm thinking, this is. Here's what I was going to say, that I go on my iPad, and they raised the rate again, the tax rate, what do you call it again? So inflation, because that he claims he's doing this because it's the only way he knows how to control inflation. But for probably 6 months, I have been reading articles to the effect that by doing what he's doing, he will send the entire country into a tailspin, into a recession, and into even higher and higher inflation, and people will sink lower and lower into poverty. So what he's doing knowingly is destroying this country. And this is another thing, but we gave this man this power. And I don't understand why he has this undefined, terribly strong power over the lives of every single person in this country. Because inflation touches everybody, and nobody's willing to talk about that, or him, because it's like you're touching God, and he's godlike. And here's what I think. I think these types of people should be disempowered. I think they should be removed. I think there should not even be an office that exists in such a manner. I do remember that after Bush almost destroyed the country, and we watched it on television, the same people that destroyed this country were hired by Obama Wama Do, which is what I call him, thank you, to put it back together. And it was hysterically funny, you know, to watch it all. Oh, that man. Gee, don't I remember that man? Wasn't he there? Oh, my gosh, you know. And so then you realize, at least I did, whoa, we've just put the enemies in charge of everything. Oh, well, were they the enemies? Were we actually giving them carte blanche to do what they did? And I
well,
think
I'll
we
tell
did.
You what they're doing, Judy. What they're doing is they're overstepping their five duties in the office, the Oval Office. And
yeah.
They only have five duties. And one of them is not to make laws, not to alter laws, constitutional laws, not to make constitutional laws, alter them, change them, ignore them, or wipe them out with a executive order. And executive orders were never intended to make laws. Executive orders were intended to do administrative things, or maybe if there's an emergency, write an emergency law. But it has to still be in accordance with the United States Constitution and the will of the American people. They are not caring about the United States Constitution. They're caring about their will, their preferences, their personal, political, or whatever financial
gains. And the directives that have been given to them. There's always somebody above
them,
okay?
And Congress is complicit and has been complicit for decades by allowing it to happen, because they have also been negligent in their jobs, and they are not doing anything but putting on these theatrics, on these hearings. They're doing absolutely nothing, and they're all getting wealthy, and the American people are getting poorer, and they don't care, and people are dying, and they don't care. They're jabbing people with experimental and trial injections with a Pfizer trade secret formula that nobody in the entire government cares to find out what they're injecting into the world's population, because they're making so many billions coming in from those injections, while young kids who they force to be injected, and they aren't even their kids, are dropping dead from myocarditis or shortening their lives. For example,
I mean,
my mom died after two Pfizer jabs from neurological injury. And my friend's dad died 2 weeks later of a heart attack. Another person I know, his mom was perfectly healthy and happy and cooking Italian, da-da-da-da-da. She got two jabs, and guess what? She can't talk, can't walk, and had a stroke. So, no, I am not. I do not approve of experimenting on human beings, and they're lying about they're 100% safe and effective since 2019 before they even rolled out, because experiments cannot be 100% safe and effective. That's all I have to say.
Well, the worst part is we really don't get a head count anymore of who died and who had what, because they've stopped
doing it.
They
don't want
to. So, right. So, and what's really scary to me is how people go along. Are they people or are they sheeple? You know, because I quietly,
well,
like you,
Well, this is
Rose,
what happened,
so.
Judy. They fear-mongered, they coerced, and they threaten people, and they threatened doctors, frontline doctors, that their license would be taken away. They silenced them. They took them off the internet like they silenced the conservatives who were questioning all of this. And so if you question them, you become an enemy of the far left. Not all Democrats, but I'm just saying the far, far left. And so
I think it's more than that. Like, I did a lot of volunteering. I couldn't volunteer during COVID, and the simple reason was I had refused the vaccinations. And not.
Oh, I think we lost. But anyway, we have to go anyway, so it doesn't really matter. But it does matter to me that Judy has been cut off for some reason. And I wanted to. Thank you, Judy Watson. We love you, author of Wings. Keep up the good work, and I will talk to you again soon. But I wanted to mention that there is an article that you may be interested in, and it's a blue letter Bible, and it's an interpretation of Matthew 24 through 25. And it's, this one's Matthew 24, 16 to 20. The command to flee. A lot of people are concerned about the Exodus, about getting to safe places away from the dark forces who are enacting possibly a potential genocide of the world's population, according to United Nations Agenda 21, when the jabs were rolled out in 2021. Was that a coincidence? You need to ask yourself. And also you need to read Lockstep, Phase 1, Phase 2, and Phase 3. We are in Phase 3. You need to read the Agenda 21 and Sustainable Planet, because that's about reducing the population and 50% by 2030 and 90% by 2050 under the guise of reducing carbon monoxide and redistributing the world's wealth to themselves. So this is a war, a spiritual war against humanity. It's a spiritual war against God. And the crosshairs are Christians, Jews, Catholics, patriots, constitutionalists, freedom fighters, and loyal natural-born Americans. Loyal naturalized Americans who are patriotic and will defend the United States of America, defend the United States Constitution. And so we're counting on the United States military. We're counting on the United States Navy SEALs. We're counting on the United States Christian pastors and all believers to keep praying, to stand up, speak up for God and the United States of America. Because if the United States of America goes down, there will be no freedom in the world. There will be no hope for those who are already living under suppression, oppression, and depression. So it's up to us to speak up, speak out, and save the children, save the babies, save humanity that God created, and save the United States of America and secure our borders. There's a reason there are laws. And God says in the Bible, you not only need to follow his laws, the Ten Commandments, but you also need to follow man-made laws if they are in the best interest of the United States of America and the American people. And these laws, oh, we got Judy back. Let's say goodbye, Judy. Hi, Judy. Sorry we got cut off and we're at the end of the show.
That's okay, darling. You went into, you know, it's just, oh, well, I told a little bit about Hollywood. But, you know, if you look at the stories about Hollywood, isn't it really indicative of everything else, really?
Yeah, and we have to have you back, and we'll have to, you have to tell us more stories, because I love your stories. They're fantastic. They're stories that nobody else will tell and nobody else knows. So that makes it even more interesting.
True.
I love what you're sharing. So, oh, go ahead.
No, I'll try. I don't talk to Gary very often. I'll try to see if he can give me a story that George wouldn't mind being told, you know.
Fantastic.
I'll try to find out.
God bless you, Judy. Take care, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Well, you made me feel so much better. You know, I've been really blue because I like both of my kids. I'm telling you, I'm being scapegoated. They're being so mean to me. And my daughter did the whole thing, and I can't even stand it, Ruth. So basically, it's like you're going to be alone on Thanksgiving, Mom, and that's just the way it is.
Seriously. Well, you can always come to my family Thanksgiving. Everybody's welcome.
Well, thank you, I might take you up on it. You know, because
no, you're
I cannot even believe it, and my daughter, you know, to take this stuff I wrote, my son called me last night, and he kind of asked me all these questions, and she was standing right there, and I didn't mean to harm anyone, you know. Are you there?
I know you didn't, Judy. You have a good heart, and you have good intentions, and that's all that matters. So don't worry about what other people think, because our home is your home, and you're always welcome for Thanksgiving, and I have to say goodbye, and I'll talk to you again.
You live in Huntington Beach, right? You live in Huntington Beach?
Well, I don't say it on the air.
Oh, well, Orange County, wherever you live. Okay.
I don't know where I live. I live on the planet Earth. I live in a bunker.
You do. You're a wonderful person, and I hope people listen to you and appreciate it, because you've got a good heart. Not only that, you have facts. You are the most literate woman I think I've ever met, and you always support whatever you say with all kinds of facts. Most people don't. Most people just have opinions, Rose, okay? And opinions can be taken and thrown around the room, but you don't, so you're wonderful. Thank you, darling.
Should I hang up? Okay, darling. Yeah.
All right, I'll talk to you later.
You.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I love talking to Judy. She's so much fun and so interesting. And the invitation for her to come to Thanksgiving would be fantastic. I would love it. She joined our family. She'd be in for a treat. We dance. We're just everywhere. So anyway, God bless you. Don't forget to get a copy of Obamasaurus. And God bless you, and we'll talk to you again next Wednesday.
Well, my friends, time flies, and now is the time to say goodbye. Thanks so much for being part of the Columbo Chronicles family. You are appreciated. Please do it now. Bookmark. Push that like, share, and follow button. Oh, and don't forget to comment below and stay in touch. Make your family part of the Columbo family. Until next Wednesday at noon, remember, God loves you, and so does the Rose.